2 Kings chapter 6. While you're turning there, Charles Spurgeon once, a great preacher, once told his students, he said, "I heard one say the other day that a certain preacher had no more gifts for his ministry than an oyster. In my opinion, in my own judgment, this was a slander against the oyster. For that worthy preacher shows great discretion in his openings and in when to close. If some men were sentenced to hear their own sermons, it would be a righteous judgment upon them. They would soon cry out with Cain, 'My punishment is greater than I can bear.' I don't listen to these things after I get through preaching them, believe me." 2 Kings chapter 6 is going to be our, verse 1 through 7 is going to be our text today. I'd like to pray before we begin, and then we'll get off into it. Father, I thank you for the day, and Lord, the privilege to be asked to try to fill this pulpit while our pastor is in Austin. I pray, of course, that you're blessing the work that he's did yesterday and doing there today, and just truly bless it, Lord. We're sitting here, Lord, we all have got a Bible. You've given me a message, and your word is true, and your word does not return void, and there's something here in here for every one of us. I really pray, Lord, that you'd show up and get me out of the way. I'm the weak link in this, and that you would allow your word to be preached today in a way that it would bless the folks that are here, and that when they leave today, they didn't hear Randy fill in for Pastor today. They heard you fill in for Pastor Day. That would be a blessing, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's read this passage. I did a Sunday school lesson this morning on sayings in the Bible that we may say and the world may say, and really didn't have any idea that that came from a Bible verse or a Bible reference. And there's one that I skipped. There's lots of them I skipped, but I skipped this one today because I thought, boy, that may just preach. And so let's see if it does. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 1. "And the sons of the prophets said to Elisha, 'Behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too straight for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell.' And he answered, 'Go ye.' And one said, 'Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants.' And he answered, 'I will go.' And so he went with them, and they, when they came to the Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, 'Alas, master, for it was borrowed.' And the man of God said, 'Where fell it?' And he showed him the place. And he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore he said, 'Take it up to thee.' And he put it out his hand, and he took it." Got a great passage here that I've read I don't know how many times, and every time I've read this thing, how the man of God made that axe head swim back up, I thought, that's good, but I never could. God never has given me anything out of it. He may not today. I may have made this whole thing up. We'll find out. But no, I got to looking at that, and when I was looking at those sayings that we did in Sunday school, and there's a saying here, you know, have you ever flown off the handle? Yeah, flying off the handle. That's exactly what happened here. And so today, you know, the theme of this time of sermon, the theme of it is losing control of your temper. And so I brought an object lesson. Yeah, this makes that losing that axe head mean a whole different thing, doesn't it? You know, when Boy Scouts were really Boy Scouts, the folks that I don't know anything about that. But back when I was in Boy Scouts, one of the things that we learned was axe safety and usage of axes and hatchets and knives and those kind of things. And I've always loved to do that. And an axe is really a tool that is used very seldom today, but back then it was used. And an axe has got basically just two parts. It's got a head and it's got a handle. That's pretty simple. But it also has, you know, all the parts of a, it's like a human body. This is the head, so this is the face of the axe. And this is the bit or the bite. Okay? This right here is called the eye, because it's almost the shape of an eye. Inside there is a wedge that keeps this head on this handle. This is called the butt, the neck, the belly, the back. Y'all are really into it. Normally an axe will have a curvature here, and part of that is safety. So when you swing it, you don't just slide right off the end. And then this is called, we called it the fawn's foot. It's cut like this to be wider than the handle to stop you, and also like this so that it won't split. Okay, so there's your brief axe deal. And as far as an axe head, and an axe, there's safe ways to use it. And when we were taught, if you're going to use an axe, yeah. You know, if I was going to chop some wood right here, I would first, check the axe, make sure the wedge is in there and it seems to be in good shape. And then you'd take the axe and you'd swing it around and make sure nobody was in range of your axe so that you wouldn't hit them with that. And then the next thing, the important thing is when you use an axe, it'd be really safe if nobody was directly in front of you or behind you, because that's the direction of the axe, you see? So you try to position yourself. Now, look, put yourself in this passage and you've got the sons of the prophets. At this time, there's no telling how many they are, but they're running out of housing, okay? They decided they needed to go cut some wood, and they're all showed up, and they're all cutting wood down by the Jordan. So I don't know how many axes, but I'm sure there's lots of axes chopping wood. And one of them, the head comes off, and the guy gets upset, and that's like the topic of the story. You would think that this would be like not very common, that the axe head, the head would fall off the shaft. I want you to stay here. I want you to turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 19. In Deuteronomy chapter 19, the Lord is laying out the rules for these sanctuary cities, where someone was to need sanctuary from a problem that they may have caused accidentally, they could run to the sanctuary city and seek shelter and not be killed by the avenger of blood. And verse 5 says, 19:5 says, "As when a man goeth into the wood with his neighbor to hew wood, and his hand fetches a stroke with an axe to cut down a tree, and the head slippeth from the helve is the handle, and lighteth upon his neighbor that he die, he shall flee into one of those cities and live." Now, every time I've read that, I thought, you mean to tell me that this thing happens enough that God used it as an example in the law? The people were getting whacked by loose axe heads. I guess it was more common than you would think it would be. That people back then, nowadays we have a lot better wedges and machinery and stuff. I don't know exactly how they attached an axe head back then, but back then it was a real common thing for an axe head to go off the handle. And not only that, the possibility of hurting somebody else with it was high. You got it? The application that we can make here is, as far as going off the handle, flying off the handle, it's a lot more common. Yeah. Why is she laughing? Oh, this is going to be bad. No. Our tempers and flying off the handle is a lot more common than it should be. Okay? And it was common enough back then. You can go back to 2 Kings. It was more enough common back then that that God put it in one of the laws. There's a saying that says, keep your temper, no one else wants it. You know, examples of flying off the, you know, this, I'm going to try to only preach what's in the passage here without going off and taking you in a thousand other places. But when I talk about losing your temper and it being common, every one of us can, you know, if you can think of it, some of us have stuff that may have happened today on the way to church. Some of us have stuff in the past. We've had parents that we've seen situations come up where you could truly say they flew off the handle. We've had spouses, brothers and sisters, children. Has anyone ever had a boss that you could say he flew off the handle? People at work, co-workers, flew off the handle. Sad to say, but we just had another high school student in Santa Fe, Texas, fly off the handle. It's far too common. It's far too common. And when we talk about, and I don't, we when I started this, God, of course, gets a hold of me. You heard my wife laughing right at the beginning. But when I say losing control of your temper, we have put a definition on temper that's not the definition. Okay? Temper is a good thing. You shouldn't want to lose it. Meaning this, on this axe head, this is steel. And in its truest form, it's not worthy to be hitting mesquite wood at all. It won't stay sharp, and believe me, Benny Kraft can attest to this. Pastor, everybody that can attest to it is not here today. We went to the Dominican Republic, and we bought two hammers there to do some work, and neither one of those hammers were tempered. And every time we hit a nail, parts of the hammer fall off. You weren't hurting the nail at all. Because it wasn't tempered, it wasn't strong. When they temper a piece of metal like this, they bring it slowly to a hot, hot form. And the part right here where they want it to be the strongest, they get that red hot. And then they dip it in a liquid and cool it down fast, and that change makes it harder. Makes it harder. And so that's temper on an axe, and it's a good thing. And the application of losing your temper fits perfectly. But with us, temper is it's a good thing. It's temper is valuable possession, and we shouldn't want to lose it. In Ecclesiastes, you don't have to go there. Ecclesiastes 10:10. The Bible says, if the iron be blunt and he do not whet the edge, then must he put more strength. But wisdom is profitable to direct. You know, if this thing wasn't tempered and didn't hold an edge, I would have to hit harder and swing harder to try to cut wood, which is more dangerous than if it was sharp. I'd like to say that a sharp knife is a lot safer than a dull knife. But every time I sharpen our knives, Maureen cuts herself. So there's always exceptions to the rule. But temper is a good thing. We shouldn't want to lose it. But temper is really not, when I say lose your temper, I'm not saying it doesn't make any sense. I'm not saying lose your anger. I'm not saying lose your wrath. I'm not saying lose your... See, those are symptoms. Those are things that your temper is your temperament. It's how you control your spirit. It's how you control who you are. It's control, it's moderation. Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians. Save here, let's go to 1 Corinthians. I want you to see it. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Look in verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. Every man that striveth for the mastery, look at this, is temperate. It's another form of temper. It's temperate. in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Paul is saying here that there's a crown available for us for our temperance. That's moderation. That's controlling ourselves. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be cast away. You know, what he's talking about here is temperament. We should have a temperament of moderation. Now, you can lose your temper physically. We all know what that is. You can lose your temper verbally. We all know what that is. You can lose your temper emotionally. If you have a tendency when things go wrong and you don't have a control over your emotions can fly off the handle and get you in trouble. Your vocal can fly off the handle and get you in trouble. This temperament is something that we as Christians should value and not want to lose. But we lose it all too common that we lose it. The byproducts of temper, like I say, are anger and wrath and bitterness and malice. And those are the things that show up. But it's when you lose your temper, you're losing your control. There was a man walking through a supermarket with a screaming baby in a shopping cart. And a woman nearby noticed that time and time again, the man would calmly say, "Keep calm, Albert. Keep calm, Albert." And finally, in admiration for the man's patience, as the child continued to wail, the woman walked up to him and said, "Sir, I must commend you for your patience with baby Albert." To which the man replied, "Ma'am, I'm Albert." You ever feel like that? Yeah, no, number one, flying off the handle is way more common than it should be. It was back then, it is today. And your temper is valuable. You shouldn't want to lose it. You want to keep control of your temper. Number three, look in verse 4, back in our text, 2 Kings chapter 6. Verse 4, so he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. They cut down wood. Like I mentioned before, we don't know how many they is. But if you go through the previous chapters, especially when Elijah and Elisha were headed, and Elijah got taken up by the chariots of fire, they ran into sons of prophets in three different cities. And so all of these sons of prophets are now going together to build this deal. So there is a lot of wood cutting going on. There's many men and many axes. And that's a dangerous situation. It's a dangerous situation. And I'm going to tell you, I try to avoid folks that fly off the handle. I don't know about you, but I try to avoid, and most people try to avoid people that fly off the handle. You know, when a man's temper gets the best of him, it brings out the worst in him. Yeah, you can shake your head. We all know this. Luke 6:45 says, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh." I guarantee you, when you fly off the handle, I am talking from you. I'm an experienced fly off the handle guy. Okay? So I'm not a rookie up here trying to tell this to you. And I know by the looks on your face, you know exactly what I know. When you fly off the handle, this mouth is out of control. And the out of control part of it is just what that verse said. It's not saying anything that's not true. What it's saying is what's in your heart comes out. Okay? That's what comes out when that axe head goes flying off the handle. That's what goes out. Lions are never tamed. Any lion trainer will tell you that there's no such thing as a tamed lion. The animal may be on good behavior, today and will be a whirlwind of ferocity tomorrow. He may eat right out of your hand or permit you to put your head in his mouth. But tomorrow he may tear you limb from limb if sudden fury arises within him. You know, you cannot tame a lion. The Bible says the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. That verse said that no man can tame. We've got a Savior that can help us all with this problem. Help us all with this problem. Every time you lose your temper, you advertise yourself. You advertise yourself. You know, it's present company excluded. Okay? But I know people that I know that they have the tendency to fly off the handle. And it may be not that they're going to get in my face with a dirty mouth, but they may fly off the handle and be just an emotional idiot and just lose it right there emotionally, which is a horrible, I imagine it's a horrible way to live. But it's a horrible way to live any time you allow that axe head to come off of your handle and you lose it and it flies off. When you fly off the handle, you're out of balance. It takes a certain amount of, you know, squaring up the shoulders and all these kind of things that I didn't go through before you can use an axe. But when this head comes off, all of a sudden, you're not the same as you were. You're out of balance. God is wanting every one of us to be doing and living our lives decently and in order. God, and Paul talks about let every man show his moderation. I chewed up the verse, but we ought to be an example of moderation, and not of the peaks and the valleys. And the peaks and the valleys are flying off the handle, flying off the handle. It's very, very dangerous. It's far too common. But here's the deal. Look at verse 7. You know, in verse 6, the man of God said, "Where fell it?" And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick and cast it in there, and the iron did swim. Verse 7, "Therefore he said, take it up to thee." And he put out his hand, and he took it. Did Elijah ever touch that axe head? No. You know why? Because when you fly off the handle, that's your responsibility. Elijah didn't run over there and grab that axe head and start trying to put it back on that handle for that guy. You know, when we lose it, it's our responsibility to do something about it. Another thing is, he lost it in verse 6. The man of God said, "Where fell it?" And he showed him the place. Unlike almost everything else in my life, when you lose your axe head, when it flies off the handle and you lose it, you know exactly where you lost it. I wish my car keys were like that. Everything else I lose, if I knew where I lost it, I wouldn't have lost it. Right? But with your temper, you know exactly where you lost it. It's not a big surprise. And I doubt seriously that any one of you could go out and chop wood all day long and somewhere during the day your axe head flew off and you get back home and go, "I've lost my axe head." No, you know exactly when and how you lost it. And this is the same with your temper. When you lose your temper, you know exactly. This man knew, and we all know exactly when and where we lose it. Has God ever put his finger on you when you did fly off the handle? Yeah. Yeah. No. And that's a good thing. It's a good thing. Look at verse 5 again. "But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, 'Alas, master, for it was borrowed.'" This man must have not had an axe, and so he decided that he would go borrow one so he could contribute to the house building project. So he went and borrowed an axe. Now he's went out and he's lost the head of this axe. Has any of y'all ever borrowed something from somebody, and as soon as you borrow it, it breaks? Okay. Has any of y'all ever lent something to somebody, and it comes back broken? How does that work? That's not the way, you know, you usually, I try to, if I borrow something, I want to bring it back in better condition than they gave it to me. Okay? This young man or old man or whatever, but when his axe head flew off the handle and he lost it, at that point, he was in deep trouble. Number one, I don't think the sons of prophet had a big salary. Okay? Number two, that's why he was borrowing axes. And number three, now he's indebted. He's indebted. You know, whenever you lose it, you know exactly where you lost it. You know exactly how you lost it. You don't have to go wondering whether you lost it. And you know what? The second that you lose it, you're indebted. That person or persons or loved one or stranger or whatever person in traffic, whatever, you're indebted right now, just like this young man. You owe at least an apology. Boy, I didn't get to, I got one amen. Yeah. No, truly. Truly. You when we fly off the handle, we owe at least an apology at that point. The problem is your temper gets you in trouble and your pride keeps you there. You know, and I've never been one, because you can get yourself a lot of grief. I've never been one for trying to convince people to go back years and years and years and try to make up and ask for apologies and all of this, because normally that's not a good thing. It's normally not a good thing. But when you have... And I'm praying that the Holy Spirit, because he's dealt with me, I pray that he deals with you. If there's something in the recent past, or there's something that can be done where that you can go back and apologize for flying off the handle, then I would encourage you to do it. I would. That would get you out of that debt that you owe. Now, this being said, you don't go back... Maureen, come here. You'd be a great example. Okay. This could never happen. But let's pretend that I flew off the handle to my wife. Okay. And now God beat me to death all the way to work. And then he's beat me to death all the way home. And now I'm going to go up to my wife, and I am going to do the right thing because I am indebted because I flew off the handle. Kind of hard to believe, isn't it? Just work with me here. Work with me here. So I go home, and I said, you know, earlier today, I flew off the handle. But if you wouldn't have said what you said... I flew off the handle, but the way that you talk to me like that, you know, an apology is an apology for flying off the handle. It's not an opportunity to further your case, okay? That's good enough. Yeah. And we tend to do that. We tend to go, I would have never done it if da-da-da, or I didn't have my breakfast, da-da-da-da-da, or he didn't have his nap, da-da-da. We make excuses for all of it, and there is no excuse for flying off the handle. So I'm not telling you go back 20 years and find your third grade teacher and tell them that you flew off the handle one day and wrote dirty things on the chalkboard and you want to be forgiven. Because they're probably going to look at it like, who are you? You know, so it doesn't make a big sense. But if there's something in your recent deal here, it's time to try to maybe take care of that. Swallowing angry words before you say them is better than having to eat them afterwards. Swallowing angry words before you say them is better than having to eat them afterwards. You know, it may be impossible at this point to go back and apologize, but how about just starting today doing the right thing? You know what I mean? You know, flying off the handle is very common, too common. It's losing your temper is something that we should be keeping. It's very dangerous. It can hurt. It hurts you and it hurts the people that you did it to. It's your responsibility. Elijah didn't try to fix this thing. He had to come back and do it and take it and put it back on. And so it's our responsibility to do something with it. But here's the goal of the whole thing. The goal is to stay connected to the handle. You know, if we work on staying connected to the handle, then we don't have to worry about fighting our pride and going back and apologizing or any of the damage that could be had to it or any of these. If we work on trying to stay connected to the handle, that's where we should put our time, should be put our trouble, should be the thing we're looking for. What's going to keep us attached to the handle? Does that make sense? I don't know. This son of the prophet went out that day, and he had an axe that he borrowed. He wasn't familiar with it. Probably did no way to check the safety or the maintenance that's been done on it. And he went out, and he had a blunder, but God made it swim. God can fix all these things. You may be at a point where you've done something in the past or recent past, flew off the handle, and you just think there's no way you could go back and get that thing recovered. God can help you do that. God made it swim. Stay connected to the handle. I want you to go to 1 John. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which you have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and look at this, our hands have handled the word of life. You know, Christian, your best chance to stay connected is to stay connected to this handle, the word of life. You know, I quoted the verse, read the verse, where out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You stay connected. We preach it, we preach it, we preach it, we preach it, and there's always more room to preach it. That this Bible that's in your lap is the wedge that's going to keep you connected to the handle. This Bible is the way, is the only, I'm telling you, this Bible is the only connection I have with God. And he is that handle. And the more of this that we get in here, the more this wedge, you see, the more that wedge you get in there, the tighter the bond between your temper and the handle. And it's the less of the wedge, we got problems. But Christian, wow. I can't say it enough how important this Bible, this word of life is to a Christian as far as your temperament. The more God you get in here, the less of the anger and the wrath and the malice and the bitterness you have in you. You can shake your head and agree with that because it's the truth. Now, if you're in here today and you're not saved, you haven't, you and God and the Holy Spirit and the devil, they all know that you're not saved. What's saved mean be saved from hell means that you've chosen Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you're not saved, if you're lost, you don't have a connection at all. You don't have a connection at all. You're running around without any kind of a bond the Word of Life to keep you connected. And that's not a good thing. And you wonder maybe why your life is a mess. It's a mess because you're not connected. You're flying off the handle with your temper. You're flying off the handle with your relationships. You're flying off the handle, and maybe God is trying to talk to you today about, I may need to get connected to that handle. And if you're a Christian today, maybe I need a little bit more of this Bible in me so that I've got a better heart, that I've got a better wedge, and then I won't lose my temper. Right? There's a Peanuts, Charlie Brown comic strip once. And in it, there was a conversation between Lucy and Charlie Brown. Lucy said that life is like a deck chair. Some place it so they can see where they're going. Some place it so they can see where they've been. And some place it so they can see where they're at right now. Charlie Brown's reply, I can't even get mine unfolded. Maybe you're in here today and you can't even get it unfolded. Maybe you can see where things have gone wrong in the past, and maybe with God's help, God can make that thing swim. Maybe you can go and you can fix something here. Maybe you got that deck chair faced where you're looking in the future. Maybe the future can start today with your temper and your temperament and trying to not only get it where God is pleased with your temperament, but, you know, there's a crown to be earned for temperance. Maybe God's trying to show you something about something you need to deal with today, and you're like Charlie Brown, I don't even know how to start unfolding the chair. You know, Christian, if you don't know where to start, here's the place to start. Get with the book, get with God, and this is not one of these sermons where you got to get with God and go, God, show me where I lost and flew off the handle. No, you know, this is one of these. It's not, you know, this is not this. You don't need to be doing a whole lot of praying about where to find this thing. You know, now God can make it swim if you can't find it. He'll be glad to make it swim up and show you exactly where it is. But the thing is, you got to grab it and you got to go fix it. You got to get that handle back on the head, back on the handle. And if you're here today and you're lost, you know what? You need to get with God and get a handle and get a handle on it. So I pray that there's something in there today that is going to be a help to somebody in here. I mean, God put me through this sermon for some reason, and I pray that it's something here that's going to be a help. And I pray that it'll help you. Let's bow your heads and close your eyes. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to look at this passage and see what sons of the prophet did when that axe head came flying off the handle. And I like the fact that Elijah, he didn't touch it. It was something that the son of the prophet had to deal with. And Lord, I know there's folks in this within the sound of this voice that have flown off the handle in the past, or maybe even have the tendency to fly off the handle as we sit. I pray, Lord, that you're dealing with each one of us and that you'll show us exactly how we can stay attached to the handle, that we can fill our hearts with the things of God so that out of that mouth, the abundance of the heart will speak and it'll be a good thing. I pray you show us all how to keep our temper and how to be temperate in every way. If there's somebody in here that's lost today, I pray that right now the Lord has showed you that you don't have that personal relationship with Him that you need. And if you need to talk to somebody that can quickly show you in the Bible how to be saved, how to know that you have Jesus Christ as your Savior, how to know that you are a son of God, I would love to stay after this service and talk to you about it. It won't take very long at all to show you in the Bible what God says. Is there anybody in here like that today that would like to just stay after church for just a second with me and let me show them in the Bible. There's no requirements here. There's no demands here. I just want to show you what God says about being saved. Is there anybody like that? Would you just raise your hand real quickly and put it back down? I'd love to show you in the Bible the truth. Okay. Well, Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to be able to preach this. I pray it's a help. I know it's been a help to me, and I pray that you'll have your way with the word. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.